Oh, boy, we got so much stuff to talk. Hey, Tommy, The King's Invasion. There's your title. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country. The king's invasion. That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. How many of you know that when the king invades your heart, things change? Yeah. Things are different. Things should be different. I'm excited now. I could probably preach. And if you get up and dance this morning, I'm probably going to preach all day. Y'all ready for Christmas tomorrow? How many men can honestly raise their hand and say they're so excited about tomorrow? Women? Boy. I said men, not women. Did you raise your hand? You raised your hand because your wife is sitting beside you. See what I mean? When is the church? See what I mean? I guess. I mean, I'm kind of a little worried right now. Did your wife tell you to ask that question? Okay. Absolutely. I got you. He just put that piece of paper back in his pocket because she wrote it down and said, "Read this." Y'all need to cut it out. This is church. We're not supposed to have fun like this in church. You know, I was pointing that question and directing that question towards the secular side of things, not the spiritual side of things. But we've chosen a day, however it got there to be this day. I don't know, don't care. But this is the day that tomorrow is the day that Christian society, Christian society, non-believers, those that don't believe either way, those that are confused in their belief, everybody, believe it or not, has chosen this day. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses don't do it, do they? Okay, so Jehovah's Witnesses are out. They don't want to play. So everybody else chooses to celebrate tomorrow for the birth of Christ. If you ask people what Christmas is, for the majority, they're going to tell you it's the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm just praying for another invasion. That's what I'm wanting. But anyway, I hope you enjoy your tomorrow. I hope you enjoy your today. But I hope you enjoy your tomorrow with your family and you do Christmas in your own little special way, however it is that you do it, whether it's steak and eggs for breakfast. Never mind. Some people you can't even talk to in church. we gonna be shooting guns. I mean, some people you just can't talk to in church. But so hopefully you're prepared and ready. Parents and grandparents alike, get ready for the ones that were, I thought they lifted the whole foyer up and had it spinning about 20 minutes ago. I was scared to open the door. I was done, ready to come out, and I said, nope, I'll wait for a parent to grab a hold of these children. I ain't going out there right now. You could have got hit with a chair. You don't know what could have happened if you'd have went out there about that time. But that's where they're going to be in your house in the morning. Amen. Tearing your house upside down. Amen. And don't you dare yell at them. You trained them up in the way that they should go so that they shouldn't fall far from it. Yeah. You've done it. You've done it to them. All right. Man, I think I want to preach first. Would y'all stay awake if I preached first? And then we done. Tommy, you have to turn on a row of lights. Just do the center row. Everybody on the count of three, close your eyes. Three. And eventually the lights will come on. There they go. All right, now you can just open them slowly and you'll be fine. I feel like I want to talk about this first. Because I think a lot of times that we can, and I don't have any notes, so God knows where this is going to go. We're not going live, so keep it off the air. It's for us. This is an intimate time. You already put us live. Huh? Did you already put us live? Then don't shut them down. Leave it on. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. These people... I mean, you get a title, you get scripture, you get it all before, and they still ain't happy. Oh, man. Well, let's talk about it anyway. Maybe somebody watching online this morning needs to hear it or needs to see it or whatever. But we've already read the text of it, Matthew 1 through 12. And there's a couple of thoughts that I want to just talk to you about, really. And I kind of preferenced it with the king's invasion. And when kings would invade territories, they changed those territories. And we've been talking about the ecclesia on Wednesday nights and how they come in and change the territory to the Romans. When they would take over, they would change that territory to represent them. So that city that they would overtake would actually look like Roman territory. This is the same thing that should go on with us as Christian people. When the king, Jesus, when the king invades our territory, we should change. Without going through Wednesday, he sends people to set up in you. He sends the Holy Spirit to set up in you so that you become a direct reflection of him. So when the king invades, the king changes everybody. When we talk about the Christmas story, it says, for unto you this day. How many of you know it's a lot harder to say it's unto me? Have you ever read that like that? Have you ever put me where it says you? Take you out and put me. For unto me this day, a child is born. A king. That would be setting up a kingdom in me for the purposes of his kingdom coming. And his will be done here in us, in our life. See, it's not, y'all think it's just that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's where you leave it. in you. His will be done in you. As it is in heaven. How many of you know that he's already got it lined out for you? He already knows the thoughts and the plans he has for you. They're of good and not evil, to prosper you, to give you a hope. I mean, these are the things that are meant for you. You know, I was texting a guy yesterday, and I told Debbie just briefly about it. The guy that we've been speaking with that has found out that he's got pancreatic cancer, and we've just been talking back and forth, and he said, I'm keeping my chin up and believing that God will heal me if it's his will. And without getting back into it with a text, I said, I'm trusting with you. But so many times we get caught up in if it's his will. We get caught up in that stuff. Well, if it's the Lord's will, he'll heal me. What's the Lord's will? If the Lord's will was for you to be sick, he would have never healed anybody. And if that was his will for you to be sick and suffering, he would have never put that type of mandate on the believers and say, go and cast out demons, heal the sick. These are the commandments that God gives his church, and his church is still in hesitation and having trouble believing that this is for me. His healing is for you. You have to believe. The only thing that's holding you back is you. Amen. Stop going, but, well, who cares? If Jesus died and bled for us and was beaten and bruised for us, he didn't do it in vain. He done it that we might be able to participate in the kingdom in which he set up when he came down. But we have a problem. All you educated people, just do this, because a lot of you overthink everything. And the gospel is so simple. He said, you believe? Cool deal. High five. See you in paradise. But wait a minute. Now, we see, there you went again. That's how this all happens. But here we've got these wise men. Oh, wait. Oh, the question was proposed. We bring the wise men in and we say, the three wise men. That's what we say. That's how we've always, that's been traditional church, right? This is how the Eastern church, the Western, they put it together, because there was an offering of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it had to be three, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it had to be three wise men. Well, then you get to reading some, and some said that there were four, but one stopped and didn't. So, but there's even more. There's a historian that was highly noted of. I wrote his name down. Herodotus. Herodotus, I think. Here. I'll find it again. But there was this historian that he was known for writing about the Magi in history. He documented the Magi. And he would actually write all of these books about the Magi. And in his books, he would say that the Magi would travel with groups of 1,000 people. And we keep thinking that it's the three wise men, and oh, that was nice that three wise men would come in. And boy, when they broke it out and said that it was the Magi, man, we was like, whew, boy, Jesus must have been important. But we kept him minimized to 1,000 people. Or we kept him minimized to 3 people. And this historian is saying, they wouldn't travel. They would have 1,000 people. Now you have to start thinking, because when they were talking about giving the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it wasn't just a little box. These were big gifts. Now you got 1,000 people, you got these camels. They took rough terrain. The Bible, or some of the historians, that when you go back and start looking at how they went there, they, instead of walking through the desert, some believe that they went up north and come around that terrain to stay away from the dangers of the desert. Either way, they go bring pack camels. They traveled, and I haven't been able to pinpoint it, and I don't want to try, somewhere between 600 to 900 plus miles. Foot and camel. You want to have that baby? Foot and camel. 600, let's just say 600 plus miles. And it took them, based on everything that we can put together and compile, a year and a half to 2 years. Well, Pastor, why are you telling us? I got something I need to explain to you. See, they came as a Gentile. Now, listen, you've got to understand some things. Jesus hadn't healed anybody in their family. Jesus ain't turned no water into wine yet. Didn't raise nobody from the dead. Jesus ain't done nothing yet. Jesus was just born. The best that we can put on Jesus at this time, he was about 2 years old. Lord, help Mary and Joseph. That's all I can say about that. But here they come from 600 plus miles, Gentiles. If you don't. Hellions, right? Me and you come from 600 miles away without Jesus doing anything for us other than being born, being recognized as being the King of the Jews. That was kind of his title. That was what everybody believed that was going to be taking place. It was Emmanuel, God with us, and everybody was surrounded by this purpose and this place, and they wanted to be a part. And yet Jesus had not done anything for them yet. And they decided, though it's a long road, though it was going to take them some time, oh, come on, though it was hard for you to get your hair did this morning, tell them, boy, if they went the right way, they wouldn't have to worry about it. They had to get the makeup did. All of this stuff that the church people complain about. Oh. Pastor, on a Christmas Sunday? I told you, I don't give you just the baby in a manger thing. Oh, it's wonderful because unto me he was born. Unto me he died so that I might have life. So I'm excited about that, and I can preach on that too. But there's other things that mature Christians need to start walking in and understanding more about what they're reading in Scripture other than the three wise men. See, it wasn't even the matter of whether it was three or four or that thousand. None of that mattered. It didn't even matter about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It had nothing to do about that. Y'all want to walk with me for a minute? The Bible says that they came to worship him. He ain't done nothing for them yet. I'm telling you, when the king invades, he changes the heart of man. He'll change your ideology of what you depict God to be, who you depict God to be. But when the king invades, it's a different story. How in the world does a baby draw grown men, wise men, magi? See, these were kings. You can't see, that's another, you can't just look at these as just three amigos, right? It wasn't just the three amigos running up in there and, you know what I'm saying, trying to get a taco or something. It don't matter. Not that I'm coming over here to do that, but it just worked. But there was, we keep looking at it like that. We call it, you know, it's the three wise men and here they come and oh. No, you're missing things in this whole text. They said that they came and got with Herod. I got to ask you a question. Does any of you feel like that you can find two other people to go with you and walk from here to D.C. and get in front of the president? I mean, isn't it that easy? I mean, that's the way we're thinking it. It just ran that easy. And we just think they were three. Why? They had to be of some sort of stature in the community's eyes. Not just from whence they come. Y'all remember the word? Aristocracy. If you ain't been here on Wednesday, you don't know it. You don't. Some believe that they were. Oh. I went to Genesis. Abraham. He sent them off. And he sent them to the east. He sent them to the east. And this magi, these wise men, came from. Oh, I could probably tighten it right on up in there. Because Abraham was wealthy. Abraham had a lot. And Abraham knew God. Tradition would have it that the understanding and the education and the faith in God would be passed from generation to generation to generation. Do you think that the Magi didn't know that this day was coming? I still have a tendency to tie it to Abraham. I can't really break it all down right now, but I have a tendency to go back to Genesis and believe that that's the Magi. But anyway, this Magi that come, they had enough influence to get in front of the king. So when these people are that much, have that much influence to get in front of a king, to talk to them about another king that had been born, King Herod had to have believed he was in trouble. Whoa, wait a minute. These are coming to tell me? They're not worried about three people on a donkey. Come on, if three people went strolling up into the country or up into King Herod's court on camels, they probably just thought they were crazy and sent them on their way. This was the Magi. That's why I have the tendency to lean more towards the thousand. He had a presence. And here they go in front of King Herod and give him the great news, bad news for him. Pastor, I still ain't putting this together. Hang on. They were Gentiles. They were from the east. And I say Gentiles because they're there. Well, that may debunk. That may debunk the Abraham thing. Let's forget Gentiles. I still believe it the other way. So they come from the east. They walked over 600 miles. It took them about 2 years to get there. And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were of a higher power than what we believe them to have been. We think wise men, okay, they were dressed cool. But they come carrying some weight. They show up with Jesus and they offer him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Mary coming to the door? Actually, it was probably Jesus running up on the porch. Mom! 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 They're invading us. And she walks through the door, and there's 1,000 people in the front yard with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, with camels, and dressed the magi. That's why I don't believe it was just a little box of gold, a little box of frankincense, and a little box of myrrh. I believe that I know you don't want to play along with the story this morning, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence on it, but I'm going to challenge your thought processes on it. Do you think that God would have sent his son here without sending him what he was going to have? I can see Mary and Joseph going, what am I going to do with all this? We don't even have food in the cupboard. The cupboard ain't even big enough to hold no food. And I'm going to do something with this? So I'm looking at the king's invasion on someone that wasn't even around. And it caused them to come from afar off. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Do you think that maybe you were afar off before? See, the king's invasion will make you change. They done all that they did, and before they left, they were given a dream. I believe it was a vision. And God said, you can't leave the way you came. Okay. You can't leave the way you came. You can't get in the king's presence and leave the way you came. And the Bible says that they left another way. I remember how I left. Not just the church. There's been multiple occasions where the king has invaded. And I've gotten up off my knee or out of a chair or off a bike or out of a truck. And I went, wow. And I left different. As if that should be enough to get you some understanding on who Jesus was and the power that Jesus carried just in the name. The Magi went to the King Herod and told King Herod about it. And King Herod looked at him and said, hey, go find this king. Let me know when you found him. And I'll come and worship him. I got news for somebody this morning. Don't trust everybody and their worship if they're not willing to go find the king themselves. Boy, sound like a group of church people, don't I'll go to church, and man, if the pastor gets hot and heavy and lathered up like an old work donkey and he throws off his coat and he's running around and he's screaming and yelling and he gives me a joke and he takes care. Man, maybe today I'll find Jesus in a way that I've never found him before, and maybe I'll leave differently than what I came. That's our problem. We aren't willing to go after Jesus on our own. We want everybody to hold our little precious hands and lead us in the way that we should go. When will you take responsibility and seek after Jesus in the manner in which the Magi would go and walk 600 miles. If the journey seems long, keep walking. I know you're tired, didn't feel like it. This is why some of you men have women, so that they can smack you in the back of the head and get you motivated. Some of you carry the evidence on the back of your head with knots. I see it. Sometimes this is what it takes. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who told you it was going to be easy? Who told you you wouldn't have to go through a journey? Who told you it wasn't going to work out the way that you planned it? I got good news for you. He said, seek me while I can be found. He draws close to the brokenhearted. As long as you seek him, he will seek you. He'll come close to you when you come close to him. But see, you've gotten twisted somewhere in your theology, and you feel like, well, God has left me. Where is God? He's not. Why don't I feel God? Why don't I see God? And the whole time you have forgotten, somewhere along the line, you've dropped him off. Whether it because your problem is bigger than what you can conceive in your little pea brain. I got one too. Don't be mad at me. I mean, he got a look on his face like I was talking about him and his pea brain. I am. But I'm talking about mine too. Because we all struggle with thoughts and processes. We all struggle with life and problems and issues. But can I tell you, as long as you will pack your camel and put your feet on the path and start walking your journey, you always want somebody to walk with you. We got a saying in the business, take a brother with you. Right? No. Quit trying to take everybody on your journey. Don't you walk it by yourself. Maybe God wants to have an intimate conversation with you. Maybe he doesn't want your nosy wife. Maybe he, I didn't mean to do that. Maybe he doesn't want your wife involved with the conversation that he has for you, because he is laying out a strategic plan for your home and he's called upon the priest. Boy, don't you know? Tell him. Joseph did it. He was quick to hear and quick to run. He should have been a woman. We've got a saying in our house. It was telegram. This is how civilization has evolved. It used to be telegraph or telepony, right? Telegraph. Then it was telephone. Now it's telewoman. You want news to travel? Look, I call mom. Yeah, Lisa's already took. Never mind, bye. Call Lisa. Mom's already took. Yep, bye. You want news to travel, tell the right one. You got the right one. But everybody's not meant to walk your journey with you. Aren't you? See, you should be rejoicing in the fact, because here's the thing. Because you, if you can't get excited about everybody not walking your journey with you, you should be able to look at it like this. You don't have to walk nobody else's with them. Because somebody has probably got it worse than you. Man, I'm so thankful for a king invasion, that he can cause me to look at things differently and have a different perspective set up in my mind. That I can sit back and go, you know what? Man, if you can pull them from that far off and they didn't know, I know. So I know you can pull me from where I am. Herod said, you go find them. Let me know. I want to come and worship him. You don't want to worship him. If you came to church waiting on me to get you excited, you didn't come to worship him. What scares me? You come to worship me. That's what scares me. Because I can't, but trust me, I ain't even going to, I'm not taking the first backlash for you. Because I already know how you're going to treat me after I do it. He did, and he still done it for you. You better follow him. And you better go out to him pretty hard. But I think we all need a king invasion. See, Herod was mad. The Jews were mad. It didn't make no sense. I said, why are y'all mad? He coming to help you. What are you doing? Man, if I could go back and just... But they get mad. And they're angry and upset. You want to know why? It's because they had it all together. You know Herod killed his wife and his children out of a selfish desire. Do you think that he might want to kill Jesus? Anybody to press into his kingdom? This is what happens with a king invasion. See, this is why you get offended when I say you can't live like that, because that's sinful. And the Bible says to do away with that. You know, the malice, the gossip, the nasty words that come out your mouth, the ones that taste really bad. Well, they don't. What do you mean taste bad? Then you don't understand. You've not had an invasion. Trust me. Anything that you do unholy and you aren't convicted on, you haven't experienced an invasion. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. But they got mad because this new king was coming to tell them what they could and could not do now. They come to tell them that all the traditional things that they've been doing in the past, now they're going to have to change. Remember, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means change the way you've been thinking. All the way from Abraham all the way up, and the way you've been thinking. Guess what? We got to change it. Boy, that was an easy task. And he had 3 years to do it. He turned He turned the calendar upside down. Not just the world. We live off of him in our calendar. And we want to say that he didn't exist. See, you get upset when the king invades because we want to do it, well, not maybe so much our way. Maybe we don't. It's just over here. It's just over here. Well, I've been partying hard for years. Every Friday, man, me and the boys go and hit it. I mean, I ain't hurting nobody. I'm not cheating on my wife. We just going out and we having some fun and some few, and you put yourself in a position. And one day a circumstance arise. All because you want him just to not over here. I'd rather you do it over there. I'll give you Sunday for 2 hours, Wednesday for an hour and a half. Can I have the rest of the time for me? Okay, let me help you. Y'all get tense when I start talking about stuff like this because you're really thinking that I'm coming after you to sacrifice your time and your life for him. And I am, because he says that that's the only sacrifice that's worthy, is a self-sacrifice. But I'm not asking you to do that this morning. I'll let him and you, y'all work that out. I'm just telling you what's holy and acceptable to him. It's you. It's your life. It's your thoughts. It's your talk. It's your walk. It's your family. It's your finances. Come on, Pastor, slow down. I had to go through it too. I realized after a while that everything that I have and everything that I've experienced, he's allowed it. The good, bad, and the indifferent. He allowed it. He allowed the bad so that he could show me his good. So you don't know how much you need him until you don't know how much you don't need him. Or how much you don't want him. Sometimes we get put in those spots, man. We get angry about the king because he wants to change us. You and your little arrogant self. Your little prideful self, and don't want to be changed by the glory of the king because you can do it better. You've got it worked out. The plans are written. Everyone has been called. The family is in line. The church is in agreement. And Jesus stood up one Sunday morning and looked and said, why did you come today? And the best thing that we can say is, well, they made some good egg casserole. We got to eat breakfast. Pastor don't let us do that much. So we took advantage of that. We got here early. We stayed late. Bellies are full. And the whole time the Holy Spirit's asking you, why did you bother getting up this morning and coming? What is it that drew you? After all, pastor's probably not going to play the songs that you want to play during praise and worship. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm going to go ahead and roll Tommy. Tommy does all that. That's Tommy's fault. You don't like a song? Go talk to Tommy. Boy, he's hating me right now. Look, he's sitting back in his seat. He ducking behind computers. I see it. Pastor won't let me. I can't believe they put that up in the foyer. Did you hear what they said? Why did you come? Did you come with the anticipation of being changed so that when you left, it would be different than the way that you come in? Man, there's got to be something to this. To get up early on a Sunday morning after work and all week, there's got to be something to this. See, it used to be had to. It used to be you had to make yourself do. You know, when you partied all night. See, I'm scared to look at anybody. When you went and partied all night, I can look at you. Don't be judging her. If she want to sit up and drink coffee at 9 o'clock, it's her business. But you used to have to make, this should be your process. It used to be a thing that you made yourself do. I don't get up every day excited about jumping up in a Bible and reading something about some blood being thrown on an altar. I just, there's something about that doesn't excite me on some mornings. Now, other mornings, I picture people on that altar, but not really. Slay them. Look, if David can pray it, and he was a man after God's own heart. She's looking, boy, it's going to be a bad Christmas in a nicely home. I'm going to get preached to when I get to the house. It's going to happen. But you get to a point to where maybe it's even been in your relationships. You first started making yourself. Well, first it's love at first sight. You're blind. Big majority of us are ignorant. Mm-hmm. We love. No. And then we find things that we don't really love, but they cute. For a minute. They cute for a minute. He left his underwear beside the bed instead of in the hamper. It's cute for a minute. And then it becomes a problem. It's not cute anymore. So now we're going to fight and fuss. And then we learn to grow into that. And what we used to make ourselves do, we do now out of the presence of love that we have. Some of y'all still having problems there. You haven't loved yet. You don't understand it. It ain't got to be pretty every day. Same way with your relationship with him. It ain't got to be pretty every day. Can I help you? It's not going to be pretty every day. It's just not. But you go from having to do to wanting to do. This morning, I dare to say half of you came because you felt like you had to. My prayer for you this morning is that when you leave different than what you came. And next time that we gather, you come now wanting to worship Him. Not, Don't get spiritual. The first person I see walk up in here like, dressed like Magi, I'm throwing you at the back door. We should want, and this is what was going on, that Jesus was changing everything about how everything was happening. And people became angry. Y'all get mad sometime at me. Most time. Probably 5 out of Sundays. 5 Sundays out of a month. Even when the months don't have all 5. No, you ain't missing one. You just stayed home. I love her. I love y'all. So this is my question to you this morning. Can I propose this question? Why did you come? And I don't want you to answer me. But I want you to answer Daddy. This is why I wanted to preach first, because now we're just going to play some few songs, 12 or 15 of them, not sure. And these are going to be the ones that everybody's not going to like. And you can put your hands in your pockets and probably not even, but see, we're doing it for the wrong reason now. We forgot about worshiping a king. I promise we won't sing These Three Kings. Are you okay for a Christmas Sunday, a king's invasion? I promise you, he invaded both sides. He tore both sides up. Aren't you glad that he made a way for me and you? Let's stand. Some of you're food comatose. You okay, baby? Mm-hmm. Let me hold you. Let me hold you a minute. The food was working on a couple of you. I'm gonna cut it about an hour and a half short, because I'm scared you're gonna nod up. Man, the lights go out, they're gone. Listen. I mean, you got people snoring already. Let's, in the joy of, look at me, boy.
I was focused on the screen.
In the joy of Christmas, just serenade the king this morning. Just serenade the king. Walk out of here being full of joy. You can keep going. Don't stop, man. They want to, boy, that stuff there was good right there for a minute. Y'all go, Pastor, that's unholy. No, that was good jazz. Father, this morning I thank you. God, I thank you for an invasion in my life. One that would cause me, Father, to continue my journey with and without people. Causing me to continue my journey when it was long and dry and lonely. Causing me to continue my journey when the terrain was a little tough. When the atmosphere was a little, well, uncomfortable. I just thank you for invading me. God, this morning I would ask that your Holy Spirit would invade each and every one of us yet again. God, that we could sincerely and truly ask ourselves a question this afternoon. Why? And we could answer it. Because we love Him. Because we desire. Because we want to worship. Oh, there was a word that was used for the word worship. And that word worship, actually meant to kiss, toward. It come from two words. And the one word that it was kornos or something, karanos or something like that. And it's actually a word that we actually pulled from and got our word puppy. So if you could just picture this in your mind real quick about a puppy and how they just, man, they will lick you unconditionally. When they're a puppy, man, they're all over you. They kiss and love on you. Man, that's all they care about is you. And that's where this word worship come from. It was the same word that was used by the man that was demon-possessed that was in the caves. And Jesus and them went to the other side of the sea. And when they got there, this man broke from chains and come out of caves and was screaming. And he was filled with the demon legion, remember? The Bible said that he fell and worshiped him. It's the same word that the Magi said. They worshiped. They kissed toward him. They loved him. They showed their affection toward him. This is what we need to do.